And welcome to the Friday edition. I'm Joseph Orozco. In this program, we'll hear highlights from a Zoom meeting community conversation with HOOPOD elders talking about how the pandemic had changed their lives, with representation from Kamau Medical Center, Ethnic Media Services, and with the California Department of Aging. We start with Ellie Hostler.
I'm the editor at the Two Rivers Tribune. It's a small
recording in progress newspaper
in Northern California, located in the Klamath Trinity Valleys. Just with that little preface, I wanted to welcome everyone to the HOOPA Elders Forum, How the Pandemic Changed Our Lives. Our elders are truly our greatest gift. Our elders are full of wisdom gained from a lifetime of experience. Their stories are important, and we're here today to learn from them. We want to know how the pandemic affected their mental health, their physical health, their homes, their families. What are some of the challenges they continue to face today as we navigate through the COVID-19 pandemic? Just a little preface. Historically, tribal communities have borne the brunt of mass disease outbreaks that have devastated Native populations. In regards to COVID-19, Natives are among one of the minority groups at the highest risk from disease and at highest risk for severe outcomes. COVID-19 cases among American Indians occur at a rate 3.5 times higher than non-Hispanic whites. We've experienced the devastating impacts of COVID-19 in tribal communities around the nation. We've also seen the landscape gradually change with increased education, access to the vaccine, and boosters. We'd like to take a moment to thank the California Department of Aging for their support of today's community conversation, which is part of a statewide initiative organized by Ethnic Media Services. Joining us today is Connie Nakano from the California Department of Aging. Hi, Connie.
Hello, everyone. Okay.
There she is.
I wanted to say hello. Thank you, everyone, for hosting this. So we look forward to the conversation that we'll be having today.
Great. Welcome, Connie. We also have with us today Angie Brown. She's the public health officer at Kamau Medical Center, serving the Hoopa Valley Tribe. She's the deputy public health officer, actually. Prior to her appointment as deputy health officer, she served as the school nurse for Klamath Trinity Joint Unified School District for nearly 20 years. Prior to that, she worked for Humboldt County Public Health for 7 years. She holds a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing and is a public health nurse, a certified school nurse. She's also a lifetime resident of the KT Valley. Welcome, Angie. We have a couple of questions to get us started.
Thank you for having me.
I can tell your connection's a little laggy. I'm guessing it's the weather. It's pretty spotty over here too. I'm hoping that you can start us off with some current vaccine data from Kamau.
I can. So we have been giving the Moderna, Pfizer, and Janssen vaccine for quite some time, and we have given 3,401 doses. We do not have that broke down into elders, but that includes first, second, and booster shots. With that, our data indicates that about 75 to 80% of our elders are vaccinated. They were really early adopters in our initial COVID vaccine clinics. They have been very receptive. We have had 672 positive cases of COVID in the Hoopa Valley area, our service area, and out of Kamau Medical Center, and only 37 of those were elders. So that shows that the vaccine is working, that our elders are receiving the vaccine, and it is protecting the elders. And that is what it is here for, is to help lessen the severity of illness and hospitalizations that the elders do receive. We are starting to see some of those elders come back in and receive their booster shots. After the initial vaccine was given, we're seeing that it is waning in effectiveness, and a booster is needed to be able to increase the protection for the elders and others in the community. That's some of the data we have.
Angie Brown.
So some of the other questions that you brought to my attention were, what are some of the effects the pandemic as having on the elders. Would you like me to discuss that a little bit?
Sure.
So, you know, the people in our communities, they live communally and they reside in multi-generational homes with many extended family members. So when you're looking at a pandemic, you can imagine how that would affect our families. If there is a COVID positive case within a family, it can spread through that family very quickly due to the large families that we have and the fact that they live communally. They're accustomed to having gatherings with their family members and friends. The pandemic has really created a sense of isolation for many of our families. They've missed out on crucial life events, including births of children, weddings, funerals, family dinners, daily interaction with their peers through the senior nutrition program. That's just to name a few. They have feelings of isolation. It lends to a decrease in their social, emotional, mental, and physical health of many of the elders. So that is, I think, the largest impact on our elders, aside from their physical health, that COVID has brought to our people and our elders is just that sense of isolation, and it decreases the mental health, causes depression. Our elders are really taking a cautious approach. They're protecting themselves. They're receiving the vaccine. They're receiving the flu vaccine, which is another protective mechanism. And then they're really avoiding social situations. They're wearing their masks. The younger population is helping protect the elders by getting their vaccines and removing themselves from the home if they do become positive or in a quarantine status.
Ellie Hostler.
That's great to hear. I've heard several of those similar stories about loneliness and mental health issues. I'm hoping to hear from our one panelist that did make it. Joe, do you want to introduce Lois?
Joseph Orozco.
Absolutely. Lois Risling resides in the Hoopa Valley Reservation. She's a member of the Hoopa Valley Tribe. She's married to a Hoopa tribal member, Steve Baldy. They have 4 Hoopa children and 3 grandchildren. Lois is retired from working in higher education. She formerly served as the director of the Indian Community Development at Humboldt State University and served on the Klamath Trinity Joint Unified School District Board of Trustees. She currently works part-time in the Hoopa Tribal Land Management Department in the Realty Division. Lois, welcome to our session.
I'm glad to be invited.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Okay. Are you asking me the questions or?
Well, one of the questions that we did have is, what stories can you share about the experiences of elders, yourself and others, during this COVID pandemic? And what have been the biggest challenges been for elder members of our community? Did the pandemic mark a dramatic change in elders' lives? And if so, how so? So you can take it as you want it.
Lois Risling.
For this elder, it did make a dramatic change. And I do believe it has for my relatives and my cousins and my friends who live here in Hoopa. It was very shocking to realize that when you now look at your child that you gave birth to and that you raised and wiped their noses and took care of them when they got serious diseases, now we were being told those children who are adults now, they're young adults, they have their own families. And because they live in separate households, they could kill you. And that was a horrible idea for my husband and I to come to terms with, to think that they were in this category because they weren't in my pod, which was defined as kind of a really nuclear family. It was whoever resided in your household, and they didn't. So that was very difficult for me to wrap my head around, that they were potential death threats. And then I found out later, even after the vaccines came, they continued to be death threats because they didn't qualify for a vaccine right away, even when we did. All of my contemporaries, my brothers, my sisters, And I'm fortunate to still have all my brothers and sisters. They're all in the elderly category, though, so they're all getting their shots and everything. But my children couldn't, and my grandchildren couldn't. And I have other great nieces and nephews, and they still can't get it. We have to look at them in a different way. That goes against the very basis of HOOPAA culture and HOOPAA society, to think of your children as a death threat and a potential more than an enemy. So that was very difficult for us to do. The other thing that was difficult was getting food, because at the beginning of all this, we were living in a real food desert, as I learned that new term too, food desert. And it was difficult to get food. People who would ordinarily bring you food from the community, they were in that age category where they couldn't get shots and stuff. And so they'd run up to your porch and leave something on your porch, and then you're supposed to let it sit there on the porch. And we have a lot of critters around our house. It's a major thoroughfare for all these different kinds of animals, from bears to foxes to skunks to whatever. And they just would see that food sitting on the porch for whatever its time. And then we would share with them sometimes, not by choice, but because we were leaving it out there as per regulation. But it was difficult for us. The other thing that was difficult was to see people that you know, distant family members that died from COVID. They're younger than you, they're vital people, and they were interactive in your lives, and they died. That was very difficult. That's kind of my experience. I don't like COVID. I'm tired of COVID. I want COVID to go away.
No argument here.
So,
Sandy Close, President, Ethnic Media Services.
Sorry, I just found that such a clear testimonial. I have to, just as a journalist, am burning to burst in and ask, what did Lois think when she first found out about vaccines?
Lois Risling.
Lois loves vaccines. I take every vaccine. If it's out there and it says, you need this vaccine, I'm like first in line, because I believe in vaccines. Because as Allie alluded to in her introduction, a lot of Indian people across the United States and in the Americas died from diseases, from smallpox, from whether that be a deliberate infestation of our communities or a byproduct because somebody brought it with them and landed on our shores. It didn't wipe out just a number of people randomly. It killed whole villages. It wiped out a whole towns of people. When our children went to boarding school, those children died of diseases. And I never thought Indian Health Service was the best medical help that we could get. But Indian Health Service has given vaccines to Indian people since its birth, and it continues to do that. So I am for anything that helps us become stronger and able to fight these many diseases that are coming through. Indian people, and especially in HOOPAA, they used to have Indian doctors. We had 10 different types of doctors, and they all had different specialties and different knowledges. And those doctors, they would give you herbs or other medicines that would help you fight these diseases. And they were kind of like, in some instances, vaccines. So I was very happy with the vaccine. The only thing I was not happy with is that it didn't come fast enough and that we can't get it out to the world, because that's going to impact on us, and that our babies can't have it at a very young age. So I think the vaccines, and I was there the minute I could get a booster, I went to get it. I was like, I'm here. Give me my booster. I'll take any kind of boosters. But I think the vaccines are important, especially given our history as Indian people and our experience with disease. I do not want the HOOPAA tribe to be wiped out, like Squantus village and town was wiped out, and then he gets sold into slavery and has to go to England. We need those kinds of support, and we need them quickly. If I had, and it's not a criticism, but an observation, I would send the booster shots and the original vaccine shots to people's houses instead of having them come to the clinics. Send it to their houses. People used to go to houses to do this. But I got my very first vaccines from the Indian Health Hospital that used to be in Hoopa. My brother and I went. And it was not easy to get Lois Risling to do a vaccine. I saw the needle. I ran down the hall. I ran down the steps. I ran around the building and I was running to my grandpa's house. And the janitor caught me. And that took three people to hold me down to get the shot in my arm. Now I just go because I know it's good. But at that time, I did put up a resistance. I was very young. I'm pro-vaccine.
Ellie Hostler.
Lois, I'm hoping you can, I have another question for Angie, but you're on a roll. I'm hoping you can share with us if the vaccine helped you reconnect with your family and your children, who earlier you mentioned it was a scary time to be around family and could potentially mean life or death. So did the vaccine help you reconnect?
Lois Risling.
Yes, it did. It helped me reconnect, but we were still leery for my children. And like I said, I'm talking 40-year-old children here. It was because they had children who at the time couldn't get the vaccine. And now we still have kids that are under 5 and under 6, and they can't get the thing yet. And my children kept saying, well, you're protected, and that's good, and we can reach out, but they're not protected, and we have to think about them. That makes it a little bit hard. But yes, we did reach out more. We didn't have parties. We didn't have big get-togethers, which is, you know, up here, really difficult for our social activities. It's what Angie alluded to. That's kind of the nature of who we are. And you see this in the way we cook. When I cook dinner, my husband, Steve's always going, nobody's coming. They can't. They can't get an excuse from the doctor to come here. So why are you cooking the whole pack of hot dogs? We only need 2. Usually you never know who's going to come by or who's going to eat it or what's going to happen. So we've had to adjust to those kinds of things. But I figure if that's all it's going to take, then we'll do it. But it did alleviate it a little bit. But because I haven't reached that stage in my life where I don't think about other people's needs yet, I'm working on getting there where I don't care what other people need. But I'm not there yet.
Ellie Hostler.
I don't know if you ever will, Lois. You're a caring, supportive person to most everyone. So I don't think you're ever going to be inconsiderate of those around you. Is Angie still on?
Yes, I'm here.
Angie, I'm hoping you can tell us a little about the vaccine hesitancy that you may have seen through Kamau or how elders have responded to the vaccine in Hoopa. I know earlier you said you didn't have specific data for vaccine administration to elders specifically, but just by your experience and observation, how have elders responded to the vaccine locally? And what are some of the challenges that we face moving through?
Angie Brown.
Well, I first want to say that I appreciate Lois's perspective on vaccine and her willingness to share that, because here at Kamau Medical Center, and with me being a public health nurse, we definitely promote vaccine, and we have seen evidence that vaccine works. We have about 70% of our positive cases that are coming through to us through Humboldt County Public Health that are local in our area are unvaccinated individuals. So that's a fairly high number that shows that vaccines are effective and they work. So that's one thing. We are seeing high numbers of elders being vaccinated. I did speak to some individuals in our elders program, Heather Mace, and she does home visiting with elders and is in close contact. And I asked her what the elders are saying about the vaccine. And she felt that they had positive reaction to the vaccine. And most elders that she visits have been vaccinated already. And like I said before, are starting to receive their boosters. So we've had really positive feedback regarding the elders. The one thing that we do have is that we do have those multi-generational families, and we're seeing the 20 to 30 something age bracket that are not coming in and receiving their vaccine. And so we're hearing a lot of misconceptions about it. They're looking at social media and they're coming back with different reasons why they're not wanting to get the vaccine, but they're not actually factual reasons. They're ones they've heard through social media or other avenues. So we're really trying to get information out and correct information out to the community as to the vaccines and their effectiveness and being able to get more people in. We're going to start a series, a campaign series, that we'll be doing videos and we'll be talking to elders, we'll be talking to younger people, people who have had COVID, who were not vaccinated and then decided to get vaccinated. And so we will be airing that as soon as those videos are done. And we're going to do probably a series of 8 videos with local individuals in those videos to be able to try to capture the local people and have more confidence in listening to individuals who are within their community. Was there more to the question, Ellie, than that?
Ellie Hostler.
No, I think you answered that well. I know there is some lingering vaccine hesitancy. You know, people have their personal reasons for not wanting to receive the vaccine. I'm hoping Lois can maybe help answer a question just about other elders that you know. Lois, have you seen vaccine hesitancy, and where do you think that's rooted, and how can we solve that?
Lois Risling.
I personally haven't run into elders that haven't taken the vaccine. When this first all started, I'm the oldest of 5 children. And then my mother raised a couple of cousins who are older than me, and we're all still alive. And when I found out that these vaccines were going to be available, I got on a phone, called every one of them and said, you need to sign up. There's only one of the 5 of us kids, plus my 2 cousins, the 7 of us. There's only one of us who doesn't have preconditions. And most friends, as well as extended families, they took the shot. Now, they took it for different reasons. Some took it because of preconditions. Others took it because they either leave the reservation or they leave their home to go to another town or city. And so they wanted to feel like they were giving themselves some protection. And some took it because they have children and they were worried about those children, even if they didn't know how it was going to impact them. Because every time you turn on the news, you never know what the crisis is. And that's kind of how the COVID information comes down. It comes down in pieces, and you're waiting for this outside entity to approve it. What happens is that a couple of the people that I talked to were like, well, I'm waiting until the final thing's approved. I don't think that's ever going to get happened. There'll never be a final place. So the people that I, at least that I ran with, were willing to take it because they all had other reasons outside of themselves to take it. In other words, it wasn't, I'm taking this because it's going to make me healthy, or I'm taking this because it's going to make me stronger. We all kind of took it because we wanted to make sure that other people around us, that the community, and ultimately that the tribe's still going to be here. When you think of how many Indian people, there were about 12 million Indian people in the United States. And by 1887, that was down to less than 1 million. And that was not only because they were murdering us and starving us, but we were dying from disease. And it was the way that the disease came was, in some instances, a military push. They actually took blankets, put smallpox in them, and sent them to the tribes and wiped out whole tribes. So when you come from that history where you know what disease can do to your tribe, and we've been struggling to be Hoopa people since time immemorial, we don't want to be the people who do us in ourselves because we won't take this vaccine. And I think Angie said that in Hoopa, we have a higher rate of elder people taking this vaccine than they have in other places. But I think part of that is because people your age, Allie, encourage us to do that and tell us that it's all right and make it possible for us to do that.
Thanks, Lois.
Ellie Hostler.
I'm hoping, Joe Ifman, would you like to share your story? We had a few panelists not show, and I know you've heard others' stories, you've gathered others' stories, you've worked at the radio station since the onset of the pandemic, and do you have stories you'd like to share, even your own?
Joseph Orozco.
Well, one of the things that I did experience when we were doing almost a daily COVID-19 update on the radio, and we had it at 12 noon. And I noticed that people who were calling in were of the older age bracket. And then as the weeks went on, then through the Office of Emergency Services and the organization that part in the leadership in making sure that we're safe opened up the Facebook page. And that's when the other age groups joined in. It got to be where people were actually asking really good questions. And you can hear in their voice that they were really concerned about the spread, and they're worried about contacting the virus. And as the more stories were told and more information was shared, I felt that there was a calmness about the actions that we were taking, because it seemed like it was kind of really harsh. Like we wanted to keep people out of the Poopa Valley because we're afraid that that's where it was coming from. It's coming down the road, so to speak, and actually literally. We took that precaution, but then we rolled that back after we thought, well, okay, people were adhering to the policies that were being placed upon us for our own safety. We'll start to understand that more. I'm really encouraged that hear from Lois that she is saying that the elders, yes, I was in the first round of the vaccines myself. How we did this to protect not just ourselves, but our families and our coworkers, because some of the tribal departments were essential offices, and some of us have very small staff. So how we interact with the community is very important. And if we can keep ourselves safe, we're also going to keep the community safe. We're going to keep our staff. So it was a huge effort that the community rose up to. Now we just need, there's always pockets that need more encouragement, need more understanding, kind of echoing what there's the age bracket that might be getting their information from other places. What Angie also mentioned, that there's this campaign that will be share that information, hopefully create far better understanding. Growing up myself in the 50s, there was a polio vaccine. I remember seeing it and hearing about it on the news. And then they had the polio vaccine, and my mom got me down there and I got my shot of polio vaccine. And then she says, well, we're going to go down and you get a booster. I said, what do you mean a booster? I mean, I already got that. And said, yes, but that was the first run. Now they made some improvements. Now there's going to be a booster and it's going to protect you even more. So I'm anticipating that's also going to happen with this COVID too. And now we're talking about boost. So yes, there's a whole series of vaccinations that are going to help us. We just experienced our ceremonies this year. And when COVID first hit, it wasn't a dance year for it. And we're anticipating, well, what will happen? Like to see that there was change that did happen and how we operated our ceremonies. The thing of it is that we kept them in place. We didn't back away. Some people didn't attend, some people didn't participate, but we all came together and we did participate, and that we were there. I see that these vaccines and more education, more understanding is just going to keep us surviving here. And yeah, I've always heard that about the statistics, how many people were here before in California and all that harsh history that we survived in, and we are the descendants of those survivors. And now our numbers are getting higher part of this leadership in this whole society. And if we can be a leader here in this COVID campaign, then let's do that.
As I said, so this becomes the opening act, wider effort to capture the stories. Lois is such a wonderful speaker, and Joe, you were a terrific speaker too. These are just two examples for wider audience distribution.
So I feel like it's important to continue with written features, as well as radio, as well as online, as well as television. So we're hoping to cover all those bases with this project. And the more voices we hear from, the better. We want to hear your story. So give us a call.
The Friday Edition is a production of KIDE Hoopa Tribal Radio. The hosts for this program have been Ellie Hostler, editor of the True Rivers Tribune, and Joseph Orozco, in collaboration with the Ethnic Media Services and the California Department of Aging. Production assistance by Michael Heminger. For KIDE, we thank you for listening.